Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. I just looked, it's 29 degrees, so by the time we get out, it might be above freezing, who knows. But I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning that can make it out in this cold weather this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Had 27 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to continue to encourage everyone to come. We have classes for all ages, and come and participate for that in that hour with us as we discuss God's Word. I'd like to remind everyone the flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall here. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary for 2026. So you can find it on the wall in the hallway. Remember, this Wednesday, February 4th at 6:30 p.m., we'll have our fellowship meal and church conference. We're having chili and sandwiches. There's a sign-up sheet on the table as you enter the sanctuary. So please take the time to sign up for those items that we need for that. Also remember that we will be voting on the church budget on Wednesday night and also the church calendar. And if you need copies of the proposed budget or the proposed calendar, they're also on the table in the back there. And then Thursday, February the 26th, 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap for me and the meeting here at the church. Any other announcements? February 1st, any birthdays? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord. We thank you for our breakfast this morning, Lord. We thank you for our past hour of Sunday school, Lord. And we just, Lord, as we enter into our worship service today, Lord, we just want to give you all the glory and the praise and the honor that you deserve and you deserve only, Lord. And Lord, as always, I want to lift Brother Tim up to you this morning as he'll proclaim your word during the service today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we will just came looking for a blessing, Lord, we're going to receive a blessing, Lord. And I just pray that we all have. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can, if you thought out this morning, we want to stand and sing real loud as we worship together, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Thank you.
You'll be Snowflakes fly yesterday, and seeing them again on the screen this morning brought back memories of last year. But anyhow, it's good to be here this morning. Good to be with you. And if you take the Bibles this morning, it's a familiar passage. We looked at last Sunday morning, last Sunday night. We're going to look at it again this morning before we move on. And that is Galatians chapter 6, verses 10, 6 through 10. And so this morning, I just want to jump in and go ahead and read them, and then we'll get into our message today. Paul says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of household of faith." We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read this passage once again. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as we sang just a minute ago. Lord, that you would show us if there's any error in our beliefs, of our actions or reactions. Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us this morning through your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to leave here today having been in your presence, and Lord, being blessed because of it. But then, Lord, because we've been blessed, Lord, help us to be obedient to everything you would have us to do. I pray pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we realize that once again, this passage is dealing with the universal practice of sowing and reaping. You're not going to get anything in harvest that you first did not plant, okay? We receive back what we plant, and Paul is telling us that. And in this section of Scripture, he is telling us this from a spiritual nature, but it is also true as a physical nature. But it's true as what we sow into our own selves, and that's the priority of this passage, is whatever we sow into our lives, that is what we're going to get out. If we put trash in, what are we going to get out? Trash. If we put good things in, what are we going to get out? Good things. Well, that is true spiritually, physically, emotionally. All those things are true. Whatever we sow to, we're going to reap those things. As I mentioned last week, we're going to gain more than what we planted. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and you receive the payback for what you planted. Other times it may be years down the road that you harvest what was planted, good or bad. But we also realize that last week we said that it may not even be us that reap the harvest. It may be our kids or our grandkids. So we need to be careful to plant seeds of righteousness, seeds of holiness, not seeds of the flesh. Today I want us to think about this passage from a different point of view. Then we're going to look at another passage in Corinthians about what Paul talks about sowing and reaping. And so, how many of you want to be blessed in everything you do? By God, not by Satan, right? We want God to bless everything we do, whether it's our family, our finances, our food, our children, our jobs, everything in life. We want God to bless us. But there are things in life that God tells us he'll bless us if we'll put him to the test. I'm not saying go stand in front of a semi-truck, because that's foolishness, right? God said also, do not tempt me, right? So when God says to test him, there's only one place in the Scripture God said to do that. And you know what area that is in? Finances. Finance. Only place in Scripture where God said, put me to the test. Not in being foolishly, not in doing and living how you want to live, and then saying, okay, God, bless what I did. God, I'm going to rob you, but I want you to bless me. But you know, the reality is, and I'll be honest, when I came, I don't want to know what anybody gives. Okay? So if this steps on your toes, I don't know. All I know is what me and my wife gives. Okay? That's it. I don't know the finance, I don't know who gives, who doesn't give. But this is a challenge for all of us. Because you can give and still not be right with God. Okay? Now, with that being said, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. When you love somebody, what do you want to do for them? Most of us express our love by giving, right? Correct? When you were in high school, maybe some guy gave you some roses or flowers or chocolates or whatever, that's because they liked you, right? They're not going to give something to somebody they don't like, okay? And girls, I don't know what y'all give to guys, but You do that because you show them love. Now, if that is true in our human experience, what is it in our spiritual experience? When we love God, we should desire to do what for Him? To give back. It's a natural outflow. You show somebody you love them by what you do for them. Amen? To give. Even the pagans give to their false gods, right? They offered sacrifices. They brought their offerings to their false gods that were made out of stone and metal and everything else and wood. And it was a practice of worship. But in our reality, our God is a personal God. He is a being. And the same emotions that He put in us, how we show love? Well, let me think. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He did what? And if He made us in His image, what should we do? Give." It's a natural byproduct of what we love. So we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then, in turn, we should want to desire to give back to God. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul dealt with this issue once again in chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. That's what Paul says. He says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap a whole harvest." Is that what it says? He who sows sparingly will also reap what?
Sparingly.
And he who sows bountifully will also reap
bountifully.
So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what?
Cheerful
giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You see, Paul is addressing the same issue here, but in this passage in Corinthians, he's talking about what we sow into the ministry. Remember in Galatians, he's talking about what we sow into our spirits. If we sow flesh, we're going to reap flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap the Spirit. We're going to reap everlasting life. Giving back to God is directly related to our attitude toward God. Some of you might go away from here. You might be mad at me or glad. That's okay. Well, you know, I got big shoulders. I think that's why God gave them to me, right? If you truly have faith in God, then giving shouldn't be a problem. We give to God based on our faith in God. So let me set an example. If God tells you to give whatever X amount of dollars and you believe God, that God's going to make it everything worked out, right? Because he who supplies the seed can do it, right? So that you'll have all liberality. In other words, here's my point. If we believe God can and will, then we're going to trust that when we give towards God, when we sow those seeds into the ministry of God, that God is going to give back, right? God's going to supply all of our needs, right? Isn't that what Paul says? "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his what? Riches and glory." So we know that, but how many of us fully praise that? because sometimes we can, here again, we can obey God to the point, and we'll give back a little bit, but we give him what he wants, what he asks us to give. And there is a big difference in God asks us to give back. God's telling us in these two passages in Galatians and 2 Corinthians that what we sow, we're going to reap. We're going to sow it, and we're going to reap. But if we don't sow anything, guess what we're going to get? Nothing. But if we sow bountifully, then we're going to reap bountifully. But we don't do that. We don't practice giving. Just say, okay, God, you know, I gave you this amount of money last week. I expect you to give me this much this week. No, that's not how it necessarily goes. But we can give knowing that God knows our needs, because we're to pray daily for him to supply our daily bread, which is more than just eating, right? It is what we need to sustain us, for us to live. And if we believe that God is faithful, that God is true, then when he asks us to give, we're going to do so. And when we give, we're going to not do it. So, man, I sure wish I hadn't gave that money this week. I probably shared this with you before, but since we've been in ministry, I think we can pretty well say that we've given off everything we've received. And I think that is biblical. But before we went to the ministry, there were times, because when you got three kids, sometimes it's hard to make the ends meet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And there were times that, man, I just don't see how we can give and buy food, pay light bill. And so there were times before going into the ministry that we would not give on Sunday. And you know what almost always happened that next week? The battery went dead in the car, ran over a piece of metal, and the tire blows out. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And kids got sick for some reason. Their health is can be, and all of a sudden, here they got to go to the doctor's office. You know, you got the co-pays and medicine. And pretty soon, when I made the conscious decision not to give, God said, I'm going to give it anyhow. You can withhold me from me if you want to. And we'll look at a passage in a minute, Malachi. I call it the devourer, and Malachi calls it the devourer. That when we say, okay, God, I'm not going to give to you this week because I don't trust you. That's okay. I'm going to teach you to trust, because I can take it from you one way or another. I can send the devourer, right, because he says I can rebuke the devourer, but God can also let the devourer eat you up, you know. It's just like a hedge of protection. God can put a hedge of protection on you, but he can also pull it away from you. So we don't think, we don't like to thank God as being that way. But if you owe God, and we'll read this in just a moment, when we believe God is who he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, and I'm his child, and he says that I'm going to provide for you, then I need to trust him. We need to trust him in our finances, in our lives, in our marriages, in our daily living. Say, God, I believe you. I am going to trust you through all of it. Do you know, I looked this up, and it's changed over the last several years. Hadn't been that long ago, but the average giving in the Southern Baptist Convention was only 3%. Now it's at the 4.59%. You can get online, dude. Don't do it right now, but when you get on. The average giving is 4.59%. You say, well, how much should I give, Brother Tim, because we're not under the law anymore. Okay. Well, let's just give a trial run here. In Old Testament, tithe was how much? 10%. Okay? And I'll cover that in just a moment. But did you know that when you had your yearly feast, you had your yearly offerings, and everything else, it come up to over 35%. Okay. You say, that was under the law. We're not under the law anymore, Tim, right? We're under grace. And isn't grace worth a whole lot more than the law? Now, am I telling you to give 35%? That's not what I'm saying. Okay, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, as Paul said, to give with a cheerful heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, but to give with a cheerful heart. But let me also warn you, here in this passage in Corinthians, he is talking, if you want to reap bountifully, what do you do? You sow bountifully. If you want to get nothing, do nothing, give nothing. So many of us can get lazy in our giving. Sometimes we get lazy in our doing. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Solomon said this: honor the Lord with your what? What is your possessions? Everything. Right? And we need to understand, we are to honor the Lord with everything we have. And, it goes on to say, with the first fruits of all your increase. What does that mean? Does that mean when I work 40 hours a week and I'm just going to throw this number out there, $500. 10% of 500 is how much? 50, right? If we're going to base it on that. But my increase is, okay, we're gone. You know, they're taking out Social Security, federal, FICA, and all this other kind of stuff, state taxes, and hamburger taxes and everything else. And God, time I spend this money, the county's going to get another 8%, and the state's going to get their money. And so, Lord, I only got $100 left. I'm going to give 10. Is that how we're supposed to do God? Or is it with the first fruit of all increase? So the principle of tithing is one where if I'm paid $500, I tithe off that $500. I give according to all my increase. I've probably shared this with you before. When our kids growing up, and we still do the same thing, when somebody gives us a love offering or something, we tithe on it. If somebody gives a birthday present, guess what I do? Why do I do that? And I'm not doing this to build myself up. What I'm saying is, because God's word says to give back according to all my increase. Not some of it, not part of it, but all of it. If God has given me the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, or whatever you want to call it, to do what God has given me a job to do, where he's given me the job to work, then God has blessed me, and I am to honor God in that area of life. Whether it's being a father, a husband, or a pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, or whatever, God has put me in that position to honor him. And one of the ways I do that is in giving back a portion of all that he has blessed me with and honor him with it. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, first fruits. Sometimes we think that first fruits is just talking about money, right? Is that all there is to it? Is it just talking about money? What about the seconds of every day that God gives to us? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God has given us increase, right? He's given us another day. Given us another week, but oftentimes, I know it was cold this morning. It's hard to get out of bed, right? I get that. Came, given the God of your time. But you know, in the Old Testament, I realize we're not under the law, but we are under grace. And in the Old Testament, how many days of the week were the people supposed to give back to God? 6 days of work, and on the seventh day, you rest. In other words, you gave that back, God. Not because God needs it. The Sabbath wasn't created for God. It was created for man. But honestly, in our time, we can work for somebody 40, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. On times that saw me, I work over 70 hours a week. But you know what I found when I did that? Found out that many times I was too tired to give back to the Lord his time. Can I get a witness? Tired. Whatever I sow to that, I will also reap. Leviticus tells us this in Leviticus 27, verse 30. He says, "In all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, it is holy to who?" So whether it's our time, our talents, our treasures, if we're not taking the time to give back to God, if we're not giving back to him and what he has blessed us with financially and in our positions, man, we're missing out. Time, talents, treasures, they're all the Lord's. And you know the reality of it is God can take any bit of it away from us. Just like that. So many times we trust God to a point. They always say that there's two things you never want to mess with, and that's a person's children and their what? And their money. I get the part about kids, spouse. Don't mess with the family. Finances. If you follow the market, Andy, I was telling Amy the other day where I saw where the price of silver per ounce, any of y'all ever look at that, and less than a week or so ago, it was like less than $500 an ounce. But the other day, all of a sudden, it was on my screen on the computer. It had jumped up like $760 an ounce. And I'm thinking, wow. But you know what? As soon as President Trump announced who his next pick for the Treasury Secretary was going to be, guess what happened to that silver price? It dropped down over $200. Just like that. My point is this. You can put money, you can save money, but somebody can take it from you in a heartbeat and leave you with nothing. But just like our time, when we don't give God our time, guess what God can do with our time? He can take it from us. If it wasn't for God's blessing, would we be able to breathe another breath? Now, if it wasn't for God's blessing in our lives, would our heart even beat one more time? You see, God loves a cheerful heart. He loves a cheerful giver. But with that being said, do we truly give to God out of a heart of gratitude? Do we give him to him because we love him, because it's a cheerful thing to do? I've always been told this, it is more blessed to do what? given and to receive. It is. It is. Matthew 6:1-4 tells us to be careful though in our giving, because many people give, and when they give, they want what? Recognition. Y'all praise me for what I did, what I'm doing, you know. But Jesus spoke it from a different angle. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have what? No reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not send a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. We give not for the praise of man, but for the glory of God. Malachi 3:8-12 I want us to read these, because I think it goes long. If we don't sow bountifully, we're not going to reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we won't reap sparingly. But then there's another aspect of it, and that's not doing anything at all. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Now, most of us would say, no. I would never do that. I would never steal from God. Man, there's people that would break into churches and steal stuff. Man, over and over, Dale Moultrie, we had people break into church, and they didn't get any money, they didn't keep no money there, but they stole sound equipment and everything else. And we said, that's terrible. But you know, it can also be true of people who sit in pews. Rob God. Don't even have a conscience about it. Will a man rob God? We say no, but do we? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And what does he say? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. In other words, God's saying, put me to the test. Says Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. We'd never break into the church and bust the safe open and get anything out of it. We'd never come take something from the church that didn't belong to us. But we can be guilty of withholding what God has blessed us with. We want, like we all said in the beginning, we want God's blessings. And no doubt, you know, no doubt all of us want God's richest blessings. But sometimes we withhold from God. We not only withhold from God, as Malachi says, we rob God. We don't give back to him. We're not planting seeds into the ministry. We're not bringing anything with us when we come. We're just coming because that's the right thing to do. Say, well, just don't know what I've been through. I get that, I don't. But I also realized, been alive long enough to know that we've struggled many, many times. When I was struggling with the call into the ministry, there was a man, a younger man, younger than me, but full of wisdom, and I was struggling whether to stay home. Our house was paid off, our land was paid for, and we were talking about building a house, and so, you know, here I am all caught up in all this and fighting with God over it, and I just couldn't resist the call, you know. So there was this, wasn't even a member where we were at. I was a youth pastor, and a friend of mine said, "Why don't you talk to Sterling?" His name is Sterling Lynn. He said, "Talk to him." And so I did. I called him, and he called back and said, "Well, let me take you to lunch." He came. I needed advice, right? But he said, "Let me come take you to lunch." He paid for our lunch and spent probably a couple of hours. He said this because I was struggling with what to do, stay here, go to Graceville or what, move the whole family. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "You'll never know what true faith is until you leave everything behind and have to trust God for it all." And I thought about that in Sunday school this morning as we were studying that passage. Don't take money, don't take food, you just go and let God provide for you. And that's trusting God, but it's that same type of faith that says, okay, if I could trust God then, can I still trust Him now? And the answer is what? Yes. You know, we never had too much of anything, right? But God has always provided. Man, I could tell you a pile of stories where we didn't know how things were going to go, how we were going to make it, how we were going to pay bills or rent. But God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. One thing. What about us this morning? The first most important thing you can do is give God your heart, your life. Lord, here it is. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. God, you bless me. I'm giving it back to you. Lord, take it. Use it. Multiply. You gave it to me. I'm giving it back to you. So I can't. Can't believe that. Well, you want to be saved, you have to trust. You have to believe Him. But maybe everyone here this morning is saved. Maybe we know we've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we know that if we breathe our last breath, we'd be in heaven with the Lord. But the question this morning for us who believe is, what seeds are we planting? What seeds are we planting back into the ministry? We plant for growth. We plant so that we can see increase. If we believe God, we're going to trust Him. It's going to be shown in what we do, what we give, what we spend our time with, and on. What we spend our money on. Somebody asked this question one time. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you in the court of law? Could people look at our lives and see the amount of time we spend at church worshiping God, that we spend out in the community? Could they look at our bank account and see? And it is not for show, but could they convict us on our giving? Could they convict us on our sharing? Could they convict us on the time we give, the things we worship, the treasures that we have, could they convict us of being a Christian? You want God's blessings? Paul said, listen, sow seeds bountifully. If you sow them bountifully, you're going to reap them bountifully. We don't sow to receive, but we know we sow because God in his promises saying that if we do, that there will be a blessing in return. What does our giving look like? Are we giving to the kingdom of God for the growth? Are we expecting a bountiful harvest? Are we expecting a scarce harvest? The Bible tells us that what we plant, we're going to receive. And if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we will also reap sparingly. How has God challenged you today? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, my first prayer, my first concern is for one who may be here who's never trusted you. They've never placed their faith and trust in you and been forgiven of their sins. And today, Lord, I pray that they just come forward and tonight to be saved. For others of us, Lord, I believe there may be the struggle of trusting, of faith. But we don't give back because we don't believe you are who you say you are and that you'll do what you say you'll do. So, Lord, we try to pile it all into barns like the rich man did. He didn't care about God, didn't care about friends or family or anybody else. Lord, just cared about himself. And Lord, that night, that man's soul was required of him. Lord, what do our talents say about us? Lord, are we giving back to you what is rightfully yours? Are we showing our love to you by what we give back to you? Lord, you've given it all to us anyhow. But yet many times we're prideful and thinking that somehow it belongs to us. Lord, have your way as only you can this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.